God has a plan, and it's not mine. If you were here yesterday and helped out demoing or helped out and cleaned up, would you just stand? Just stand up where you're at. Everybody who helped out, I know, Pastor, I'm trying to be humble. Everybody stand up. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank Dave for just kind of overseeing the project. Especially want to thank James, because I was talking to him yesterday, and he said, you know, I usually work on Saturday and, you know, making money for the family. The Lord told me to just don't work. Just call him, so I'm not working today. I need to go work for the Lord. James, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. He runs a crew, whole crew about demoing, and he came out and kind of led that whole demoing crew. And I tell you what, I told him, I said, look, I've built houses and apartments and restaurants and hotels and all kind of stuff as a contractor. And when I started thinking about how I wanted to demo, and I got a little overwhelmed, I said, I would not have done it the way you did it, but I'm sure glad you did it and not me, because I'd have messed it up. But listen, big thank you to everyone who came out to be part of that. You are sowing into the kingdom of heaven. And others of you are going to have an opportunity to be part of that as well, being able to sow. And I know everybody can't come. I'm not asking everybody to come. So don't say, oh, feel guilty because you weren't here. Like, we have life. We're living life, and life gets crazy sometimes, doesn't it? That's okay. God sent those who are here to do that. So, yeah, over the next several weeks, you're going to watch that balcony begin to change and put more seats up here. And I know everybody's going to want to go up there the first Sunday, and I know that. So we're going to have some tickets available. We're going to have ushers there, and you can come up, and for a small donation in the red bucket, you're going to be able to get a ticket and sit up there. Yeah, absolutely. Baptism, October, you heard Ben mention that, baptism. We've really been trying to figure out, you know, what day is going to work, and we're going to borrow the tank from First Assembly, and we're going to set it up right here on this floor, and we're going to have a wonderful time. And those of you who have questions about, hey, I've never been baptized before, what's it all about? Maybe you were baptized as an infant, maybe in the Catholic Church, and you haven't been baptized as an adult. Let me just briefly tell you, we believe that Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, went down to the Jordan. The word says when he came up out of the water, it says the heavens were torn open and God's voice was heard. He said, this is my son. So when you are baptized, you are taking a step of faith and a witness of saying, I want to be washed clean of my old life and my old purpose and take on a new identity in Jesus Christ, and I want everybody to see it and let that be a witness. So many of you I know who are coming to be baptized, a couple of you I know, I'm going to hold you under just a little bit longer because you can use a little extra washing. Just joking. Listen, my daddy dunked me twice. He dunked me twice. I said, Daddy, why don't you do that? He says, you look like you needed a little extra. All right? Amen. But we have your Bibles this morning. Open up to the Gospel of Mark. We began this series last week, and it was exciting to just kind of dive into this gospel and just hear the story about Jesus Christ. Many of us, as I said last week, have heard the stories. Are you guys hot? Are you cool? Are you comfortable? Everybody, are you comfortable? Are you okay? All right, if you get kind of hot, just kind of go like this, and somebody will turn the air conditioner. I'm a little warm today, but just diving into this great drama and story about Jesus Christ. As we sang this morning, you know, I didn't talk to Megan and say, hey, Megan, can you go pick this song out? It was just that Megan was praying, and I was praying, and I guess we prayed to the same God, and he spoke to our hearts, and she chose to worship with that song, None But Jesus. I want to really reacquaint ourselves with Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And last week, when we put this up here that says, in that first slide, it says the Gospel of Mark. Is it working for us today? Is it a little frozen? Oh, it didn't upload? All right, so that says Live Church. Pretend it says Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Who is Jesus? So therefore, you need to make sure you're writing down today. Write down as much as you can. But asking the question over these next several weeks about who is Jesus? Who is he? Well, we have ideas. We've probably heard, if you're like me and grown up in the church, and you've heard all the stories about who Jesus is. But the question really is, who is Jesus in your life? And today I want to, you know, take another journey in the book of Mark in the first chapter as we begin to get reacquainted with Jesus. Is ask the question, why Jesus prayed, right? Why? Because it basically says in the message, the title is that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. But think about that for a second. We, again, as we read this, we kind of take it for granted. Yeah, Jesus prayed, I pray. But Jesus prayed. Jesus, the God-man, prayed. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed. Jesus, who was there when creation happened, prayed. Jesus, who knew everything about heaven and he knew everything about God the Father, prayed. Now, I've heard messages and pastors say, well, you know, he did that because he wanted to give us an example. He was giving us an example to follow. Yes, I think that is probably true. It's yes, he did that for his disciples, you know, to teach them and as an example. But I don't think it was just an example. I think it was a model that we need to pay attention to. I think something greater was at work with Jesus and his disciples than just a model for us. I believe that Jesus was showing us and helping us to understand that when we pray, think about this now, that when we pray, we were tapping into a supernatural power that is greater than us and ourselves. Have you ever thought about prayer that way? What if someone came up and gave you a prescription that says, I'm going to give you something for free that's going to completely change your life. You're going to be able to tap into a power that you've never had before. You're going to be able to tap into this energy and this way of life and this way of seeing life that you've never seen before. We're going to give it to you and all you have to do is take it and it's free. Would we not take it? No, you wouldn't. I would take it in a heartbeat. Right? I got teenage boys. Right? I understand. I would whatever I could to get this kind of jump on life, right? Megan and Ethan, new baby over there, they probably would too. Would it help me sleep at night and stay awake during the day? Absolutely. And this is what prayer is. Prayer is the ability for us to tap into this supernatural power through Jesus Christ that is something greater than who we are. I think sometimes we just say prayer is just something I do when I get up in the morning. So we can go through life on our own strength, doing things our own way, doing the best we can. I'm talking about being good, right? Doing good and being good people, doing the best I know how, being, you know, the best, try to be a good father, a good husband, a good pastor, or I can tap into the supernatural source of power and do things through his strength and through his abilities of things I've never dreamed or imagined. And that's the power of prayer. And those are the choices that I feel like I have in my life. And over the past several weeks, as I've studied and prayed and asked the Lord to really bring to life, bring to me this idea about this story we're going to read today. What was going on? How can it change my life? How many of you, when you read the Word of God, are reading it, Lord, change my life today? How many of you read the Bible that way? When we pray, change my life today. And the Lord has reminded me that the single greatest indicator of how well I am doing with my walk with him is how much I long to be with Jesus in prayer. And there are times that I get busy. I don't know about your life. I don't know if life kind of gets in the way. But I get busy doing good things and I find myself spending less time in prayer than I should be spending more. Because when I am spending time in prayer, when I am alone with the Lord, I know that I've become a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better pastor. And that's what I want to be. As we looked last week, is when we repent and believe, it changes our purpose in life. Even though we go back and do the same things on Monday that we did on Friday, our purpose in life changes. So open up to Mark chapter 1. And I want to just start off with giving you a personal conviction for myself. If someone would ask me, Pastor, what's your personal conviction as a pastor? I mean, what are you convicted about? And this is my personal conviction as your pastor and for our church, is if we do not teach our churches to worship and how to worship and how to pray, then as a pastor, I will be responsible for entertaining you. Sometimes I can be funny and it's kind of entertaining, especially when I'm talking about Maria, right? You get entertained. I don't have the energy to stand up here and entertain you. But what I do have is the energy and the zeal to teach us, including myself as a church, how to worship and how to pray. Because when we do, we begin to tap into the power of the Word of God. And what happens when that happens is then we're able to go outside the walls. We're able to do what God's called us to do and help see the vision that God has given us come to pass. Is that what you want? Is that why you're here today, right? To see what God has for your life. Well, maybe you say, well, I'm just here because I just go to Sunday church every Sunday morning. So I want to kind of tie this in the message today, the idea that our primary purpose and focus for coming together on Sundays is to worship and pray together. And when we do that, our church is at its best and it's at its strongest. And that's where you should shout amen. Because you're part of that. There we go. I want you to make sure you're awake this morning. So Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning. How many of you like to hear those words? Early in the morning. How many of you like to sleep in a little bit on Saturday mornings, right? How many of you have little kids that don't know that that's like it's supposed to be like a rule in the house, right? Right? You're supposed to sleep late on Saturday. Right, I don't really get to sleep late a whole lot, but if I can kind of get to 7 o'clock in the morning, I felt like I've slept late in the morning. But sometimes God just wakes me up early and I sit there and say, okay, Lord, I don't like this. This is too early in the morning. And then God reminds me, go back and look at what you're preaching about. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Still not like it. Now early is darkness. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I think maybe the greatest spiritual battle we have sometimes is just to get up, to get out of bed. And now let's begin to see the humanity of Jesus. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The God-man, the Son of God, the one who knew who God was, every attribute about God, he knew heaven, he was there when it was created, got up, went to a solitary place, and it says he prayed. In verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. Where is he? Where's Jesus? They woke up, he's not in his cot, he's not in his bed, something's happened, Jesus is gone, I've lost Jesus, Peter's like, I've lost Jesus, where is he at? We got to go find him, where is he? And they found him and exclaimed, underlined in your Bible the word exclaimed, because anytime you see that word exclaimed, it means kind of shouting or very loud. In other words, loudly they said, everyone is looking for you. They were alarmed. He was missing. And then they found him. And in verse 38, Jesus rebukes them and turns them all into small animals. And they all ran away and hid under a rock because Jesus had not had his coffee. It was BC, before coffee. Jesus went to a place to pray. He was supposed to be there by himself in the quiet, in the solitude of the moment. And these disciples showed up and interrupted his prayer time. Oh me. How can they do that? Don't they know that I'm supposed to be praying to God? And here they are interrupting my prayer time. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. And I love this last phrase. Remember, Mark is writing this book primarily to the Romans and the Greeks, those who have never heard this story or reading this. And this is what Jesus says, I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Mark writes this story, and they're hearing for the first time, the readers and the listeners, the first time how Jesus prayed. So many of us have known Jesus for a very long time, and I hope that this message today, that the Holy Spirit would kind of awaken our hearts and draw us near to him once more time to come back to the Lord in prayer. And maybe you're here today, you've never heard the story of Jesus. Maybe you've never heard the story about how Jesus prayed. And my prayer for you this morning is that you hear for the first time that Jesus got up early in the morning and went and prayed. And the thing that's fascinating about the disciples, that I believe is the most fascinating, is that the one thing that really grabbed their attention as you begin to read a little bit more was how Jesus prayed. If we look in Matthew, we can see at the Sermon on the Mount, really Jesus, you know, had given the sermon, and then he went and prayed. And his disciples saw him praying, and they went to him. And what did they ask? Those of us who know the story, what did they ask him? What did they say? Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now think about this. Now this is the Jewish nation. These are Jews. And in the culture, in Israel knew how to pray. For 3,000 years, they had prayed. They knew what prayer was all about. They knew how. They were given the laws and instructions. They knew that we're supposed to pray. They knew to pray. But when they saw Jesus pray, they had seen something they had never seen before, is how Jesus prayed. He prayed differently. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debtors as we forgive those and those our debts. Lead us not into what? But into what?" And that's how he taught them to pray. So today I want to look at several things in these three verses, 35, 36, and 38, that I think that we can glean. Let's glean from this word and begin to get it into our hearts and see what Jesus wants to do in our life. First, verse 35, and we see that prayer must be a priority. You see, Jesus made prayer a priority in his life. In other words, Jesus says that prayer cost us something. It cost Jesus something. And a priority is something that cost us a little that we were able to gain much more. You know, I think about, you know, growing up in the South in Mississippi, and you always see those lists, right? States who have the most or the least. Well, I started looking at that because, you know, I've tried to work out. I've tried to lose some weight. Not really. But do you know that Mississippi is like number five? No, I'm sorry. It's number two on the most obese state. Did you know that? Massachusetts is like number five on the most fit. Right? I'm looking around and saying, is that true? Oh, come on now. I love you. So I guess Massachusetts has probably got their priorities about being fit and in shape, while Mississippi, on the other hand, probably doesn't have that priority. Now, let me tell you something about Mississippi, folks. Now, they know how to pray. They're large people, but they know how to pray. I enjoy seeing, you know, the sidewalks here in Massachusetts. Really, the sidewalks are just filled with people running and walking their dogs, and I sit right there on my porch and I watch it. And I remind myself, I'm from Mississippi. I've got to live according to the heritage that God has given me. But my heart is that we make prayer a priority in our life. Jesus, very early in the morning, when it was inconvenient. Let me ask you a question this morning. When's the last time God has inconvenienced you? And I'm not trying to make us feel guilty or ashamed. What I'm trying to show this morning is that we need to make prayer a priority. And when we do make prayer a priority in our lives, something spectacular happens. You know what happens? The little g gods in our life begin to be replaced with the big G God of creation. Try it. Let me just challenge you. Try getting up. Go back and read Mark. I'm going to read this like over and over. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, take that time and give it to Jesus. I think idols have built up in our own heart and we've pushed away God. What needs to happen is God needs to begin elevated in our life. What was the first commandment that God gave Egypt, the Israel, Moses, when they came out of Egypt? You remember the first commandment? Love the Lord your God. Make no other gods before you. In other words, make God number one. Jesus comes along and he says, I am going to come and I'm going to give you. I'm going to sum up all the commandments. I'm going to sum up all the law in this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love God if we're not giving him the first? This is an owe me message from me, by the way. I just want you to know that, right? If you're sitting there saying, oh, you're preaching pretty hard to me today, Pastor. I'm not preaching to you, I promise. I am preaching to myself, and I'm hoping you listen, right? Here's the next thing in verse 36. Prayer prepares us for the mayhem of life. I love this part, right? How many of us have chaotic days? How many of you have a chaotic day? If you have not had a chaotic day, then you probably stayed in the bed. So in other words, you did not get up early in the morning. You probably stayed there, right? I've heard this statement before. Life gets in the way. How many of you heard that, right? Like mayhem, somehow or another, like that commercial, you know, the mayhem guy or whatever it is. I don't know if that was what that commercial was really about, but he finds a way. Mayhem will find its way into your life. But prayer prepares us for that mayhem. I heard a young mom one time as I was having a conversation with a group, kind of talking about prayer. And she says, Pastor, the only time I can get quiet time is when I go to the bathroom and lock the door. Have any of you done that before? You go into the bathroom, lock the door. This is my quiet time. But yet you see things coming underneath the door. The kids are like, still trying to get in there. Mayhem is going to find you. And I know it's hard for us to find that solitary place because we're a world of over 7 billion people that are connected. And sometimes we just got to find a way to unplug and disconnect. Jesus understood that he had to disconnect, and he goes to a solitary, a quiet place. I've watched this as I grew up. I remember getting up early in the morning to go to school in the summer to do my chores, and every single morning when I got up, my father, my dad, was sitting in that recliner with his Bible open, with one little light on, reading and praying before the sun come up. It was modeled for me. But do I do it consistently? I do not. And as I begin to read this, the Lord really began to, and the Holy Spirit convict me. How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better pastor or a better friend if I'm not willing to sacrifice the time in prayer? Now, for you, maybe your schedule is, well, I can't get up early in the morning and find that solitude place. Find it during the day, somewhere during your day, somewhere. Find that place of solitude and begin to get with the Lord. I've seen Facebook and I've seen Twitter, and I can see right now, I see a lot of you who are on there. And I'm going to say this in love. You could probably find some time to pray. Everybody say, oh, me. Come on now. Y'all got to work with me this morning. Somebody say, oh, me. Say, oh, me. All right. Maybe I'm not headed down the right path this morning. Maybe I am just preaching to myself. I don't know. Maybe I'll come sit down here and just preach it out to myself. The mayhem is coming. And here's what I want you to remember this morning. I would rather pray and get interrupted with the mayhem of the day than not pray and get consumed by the mayhem of the day. Here's the third thing I want to share this morning. Jesus was praying. His disciples rushed towards him. Look at verse 38. We read that they came to him, they exclaimed, they yelled at him, we were looking for you. Where are you? I don't know, but sometimes you have kids who are looking for you throughout the house. Hey, Daddy, where you at? I need you. Where you at? And they'll run you down, chase and find you. But Jesus replied, listen to Jesus' reply. This is a beautiful, beautiful part of this story. Jesus replied, he did not rebuke them. He did not say, don't bother me. He did not say, listen, I am trying to pray and I have not finished. What he said was, hey, let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. So in other words, he spent that time with God. He knew what his mission was. And even though he was interrupted, even though mayhem found him that day, it did not take his eyes and his focus of what he was called to do. And that's what I want you to grab this morning. If you know what you've got to do throughout your day, if you know what God's called you to do, if you know what your mission that day is, as we talked about last week, when you repent and you believe that you are a son and a daughter adopted by God the Father, right? It changes your purpose in life. Even though you go back and do the same things, your purpose has changed. And when you spend time in prayer, the way Jesus is telling and teaching here, right? When the mayhem comes, it doesn't get your focus off of what you're supposed to do. You keep going because you've been strengthened, because you've been in the presence. You've tapped into that supernatural power and presence of the Holy Spirit as you've prayed. Here's a test. Try it this week, because mayhem will find you. Jesus did not say, hey, let's go change the world. You've interrupted me. Let's go change the world. I kind of have stopped telling folks in the last couple of years, when they talk about, I've got a vision, I've got a mission, I want to do this ministry, I don't tell them, well, go do it and go change the world. You know why? Because when we put our goal, changing the world, and it doesn't happen, guess what? We begin to get discouraged. We begin to lose focus. But what did Jesus say? He didn't say, let's go change the world. He said, let us go to that village. In other words, he's standing there by the Sea of Galilee and he's looking across. He sees and this village where he went was about the size of where we are right now in this room. It was not the world. Probably the smallest place he could have gone. I think sometimes we pray big prayers with the expectation of having big things happen. And I believe bold prayers can produce bold results. But I think sometimes we need to pray some very big, bold prayers for some small spaces in our life. And God wants us to pray bigger, but maybe for smaller places. And many of us give up on prayer because we're not seeing those great big things happen. Just take one step. Maybe God wants us to focus on the smaller spaces. Pray big prayers for smaller spaces. Maybe we're not supposed to change the world. Maybe we're supposed to just change our world. Maybe what this daily prayer is supposed to do is awaken our hearts to what God is doing right now in our world. I want to tell you how I wake up and pray. This is how I've learned to pray. God, what are you doing in my world today, and how can I cooperate? God, what are you doing in Maria's life today? How can I pray for her to cooperate? God, what are you doing in Jonathan's world today, and how can he cooperate? God, what are you doing in Joseph's world today, and how can he cooperate? God, what are you doing in James's world today, and how can he cooperate with it? God, what are you doing in the life of our church, in Live Church today, and how can I cooperate with that? God, what are you doing in our community? What are you doing in Webster today, and how can I cooperate with it? And I'll tell you something, you start praying like that, your eyes are going to get open. You're actually going to see the world around you. It's time we kind of stop, right? Stop looking at politics so much, right? Oh, I got to pray for politics. Yes, we do. We got to pray for our nation. We have to pray for our president to be, the president now. We have to pray for our leaders. Don't talk bad about them, pray for them. Everybody say, oh me. Maria say, oh me. And I believe in praying for the big things, don't get me wrong. But on a daily basis, I think we need to pray bigger prayers for the smaller spaces in our life. Let me give you a story, Jonathan, you can come. Let me give you a story of how this works. As we're into our third year, we've had our second birthday as a church. I've looked in the rearview mirror. I had an opportunity to talk to a young man this week. Actually, two young men, some contrasting situations, but one young man had just planted a church just north of us, 7 months, discouraged. I've never seen a young pastor so discouraged. And I'm sitting there saying, well, I don't know what to tell this guy. What am I going to tell him that's going to change his life? God says, tell him, begin to pray, Lord, what are you doing in my life today? And how can I participate in it? And then I met and talked to another young man here at the church on Friday. And he began to tell me his story, what an amazing story what God is doing in him. And you know what he told me? He's sitting out here, he said, you know, I just learned to pray for what God has for me today. And here's a young man with not a really great education who God told him that, he says, I'm going to give you the YMCA and you're going to go in and set up a business where you're going to help families and young students change the way they see themselves. So they begin to see themselves the way Jesus sees them. And then it's going to take over $3 million for this to happen. He says, $3 million? I blew paycheck to paycheck. I just got laid off. My wife is working two or three income sources and we just barely make it. And God's telling me that I'm supposed to go and buy a building for $3 million? And we prayed for that young man. And I believe God's going to do something because it's in his community. It's in the world he's at. He wants to change his community. Let me tell you what happened with us. I remember when we were beginning to say, hey, where are we going to have church? Many of you were part of that prayer. Where are we going to have church? What's going to happen? What are we going to do? We have no place. We begin to drive around. I remember me and Bill got in a car and went driving around. Where can we have church? Go find a spot. I don't know. What's it going to cost? And we begin to get information back. Well, we're not going to lease to you because we don't want to have a church in our building. Oh, we're going to charge you $100,000 a year. I mean, all these things came in because, see, I had in my mind, in my small, southern, obese-driven mind, right, I had an idea of what it's supposed to look like. I knew what it was supposed to look like because I had seen it before, and that's what it's supposed to look like. And I drew out the picture, but I never could find that picture. And I would pray, God, you got to give us that building. God, you got to give us that place. I'm believing for this miracle. I'm believing. And I prayed and prayed. And finally, I woke up so discouraged one morning and I said, Lord, what are you going to do today? I'm about to get out here on the road. Pastor Brian and I are going to meet. We're just going to go down to the school department and say, hey, how can we help you guys? We just want to help. We stood in that parking lot of the administration building before we went in and said, Lord, we're going to walk in there today with the purpose of saying, how can we help the schools? What can we do for you this week that'll help your school system? Simple. So we walked in and sat down with the superintendent and began to have the conversation. And all of a sudden she says, hey, because she gave us, you can help us this way and you can help us that way. And we put together a plan to sort of help out with some of the cleaning of the high school and some flowers and things. And we had a bunch of students going to come out and help. And in that conversation, she looked over the table and she says, hey, I got a question for you. So where are y'all going to meet and have church? Says, I don't know. God hasn't given us that yet. She says, so you're planning a church, but you have, and you're going to start the church in September, and we're like in August, right? You're going to plant the church in September. It's August, and you have nowhere to meet. Yeah, we're just praying that God do what He wants to do today. She goes, well, why don't you just use the auditorium at the high school? Oh, really? We can do that? Sure. Matter of fact, just pay for the custodial fees. You can have it as long as you need it. Hey, that sounds like a great plan. Thank you. So we prayed a prayer for that small space and God opened the door. Now, look where we're at now. Because along the way, right, as we pray for God to move across our world, our first prayer in the morning says, God, what are you doing in Life Church today? God, what are you doing in Webster today? And how can I cooperate with what you are doing? Because you know what you're doing at that point? You are surrendering your heart. You're surrendering your mind. You're surrendering your ideas to God. And let me tell you something that's going to blow your mind right now. God's got a better plan for your life than you do. Way better than what you have. Doesn't mean you don't have visions, you don't have dreams, you don't have desires. God says He'll give you the desires of your heart when you surrendered your life to Him. Praying small prayers or big prayers for small places. So this is what I want to leave you today, this question. What is God doing in your world today? And how can you be a part of that? Can I pray for you this morning? Where you're at right there, just stay seated. If you would just bow your head. And let me just pray this morning. And as you pray, just kind of set aside all the distractions of the world. And at this moment as we pray, just take the time and ask the Lord, say, God, what are you doing in my world? God, what are you doing in my world today? God, what are you doing in my life today? And how can I participate? God, I want to be able to pray those big prayers for the world that you've placed me in now into these small spaces. Begin to think about where you are. Think about your school. Think about your family. Think about your job. Think about your work. Think about the community around you. Think about your circle of influence. Think about your footprint in life. And think about where God has you today and the places that he has planted you. That's your world. Lord, I pray that we would be able to read and hear your word and really take and make prayer a priority in our life. Even if it takes for us to get up early in the morning and get in that solitude, quiet place and begin to spend time with you. And I pray, God, that you would give us the strength to do that. It's really just sacrificing ourselves and surrendering to you. And I pray, God, that whatever is going on in the lives of those who are here today, those who need miracles, God, you're going to do a miracle in their life. But Lord, they've surrendered their hearts to you. They surrender their life to you. God, your plan for our life is way more and better than our own ideas. In Jesus' name.